October 5, 2021, SWAT Pedro Show.
These issues are important to you and you do talk about them?
Oh, well, they're definitely important. And as I said, the issues are part of what is, you know, at this time.
You make
so naturally, as musicians, we express whatever it is.
Do you make a conscious attempt to express these things, or do you feel that it just...
Well, I tell you, myself, I make a conscious attempt. I think I could say... truthfully, that in music I make or I have tried to make consciously an attempt to change what I found in music, you see. And in other words, I've tried to say, well, this I feel could be better, you see, in my opinion. So I will try to do this to make it better.
Yeah,
and this is what I feel that we feel in any situation that we find in our lives. When there's something that we feel should be better, we must effort to try to make it better.
And
so it's the same socially, musically, politically, in any department of your life.
Watch for Pedro show, happy Tuesday. Started off with John Coltrane talking to Frank Kosky in some parking lot of a grocery store, November 1966, in his station wagon. John Coltrane liked to tour station wagons. His favorite was Country Squires, I read. And then we had My House from Gold Dime. And big thanks to Brother Bill Nace for this connect, but through the wonders of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with me Adria Ambrose. Welcome aboard.
Hi.
I should say Andrea.
Yes, it's Andrea. Yeah, as normal as possible, or as American as possible. Yeah.
Well, America could be North America, Central America, South America.
That is a normal, very good point. Yes.
Normal's even worse, because that could be, you know, what's 1933 Nazi Germany normal? I hate that. I hate that N-word. Anyway, it's not about me. It's about you and your musical journey that I want to learn about. So please, Andrea, bring your earliest musical recollection.
Okay, I have a few, and honestly, I don't know what order they occurred in.
Yeah, but it's the Juan Pedro show. In the Juan Pedro show, there's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, so I'm going to go with the one with my father. He was an avid Rolling Stones fan, and he would often play their albums quite loudly, sometimes at like 6 a.m. and dance around like Mick Jagger. His impersonation is shockingly spot on. He would clap and dance, and it was quite joyful. And on the flip side of that, he would also put on headphones in the living room and just listen to music. That was somewhat impactful on me.
Yeah, now, in this pad, was there musical instruments?
Well, my mother was really into, like, Joan Baez and the whole folk scene. So she played acoustic guitar and her sister played banjo, and they would often play together. I was not into that world. But we also had an upright piano, and I took piano lessons from like 6 to 13.
Can I ask you about that experience? Was it a good one?
Piano, taking piano growing up?
Yeah, piano lessons. I've had guests on the show where it almost chased them away from music. I've had other ones, it was the sea change in their life.
Yeah. I don't think it necessarily chased me away. It was, when I was 6, my mother said, you're going to take dance classes or you're going to take piano. And I didn't like the dance outfit, so I was like, I'll take piano. And I memorized everything. I didn't love practicing. I would go into the bathroom and, like, write in when I practiced, and I would make it up. Because you're supposed to, like, practice a half an hour every day. So I didn't love it, but it definitely didn't chase me away, and I had different outlets into music that
kept me. Now,
when
you say memorize, you mean you didn't learn how to read?
I could read, and I can read to this day, but I don't love it. I also think that I sometimes have, you know, slight learning disabilities, so it's like reading was a bit more challenging, and I learned more audibly.
Let me ask you about first record you bought with your own money.
Oh, first record. Okay, so I bought a lot of cassette singles. I don't remember which order they were in. The first record, which was a CD, was given to me, actually, that I recall from my brother. So I didn't buy it with my own money, but he gave it to me for Christmas.
Yeah, but I asked that question specifically about your own money, because when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money. So I'm interested in what you fucking spending.
All right, I'll do the one where I bought vinyl. I bought Luscious Jackson EP in search of Manny when I was 13.
And look, I was born in 57, so when I say album, it don't mean vinyl. It just means any kind of fucking medium. I'm sorry.
Actually, in my days, when I was a teenager,
my first shit I bought, well, I did buy a 45 at a drugstore, American Woman, but it was 8-track tapes. That shit's all gone now.
Now I know, right? Yeah. Right.
But anyway, what about the first gig you went and saw?
That was Lenny Kravitz and Blind Melon Tour in 1993 at the Tower Theater in Philly.
Now, can I ask you about school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
I was in many things. I was in the concert band, and I played percussion. I was in the stage band. I played percussion and drum set sometimes. But I was classically trained, so I was in the Philadelphia Young Artists Orchestra, which was extracurricular. But that was going on while I was in high school.
Okay, because you end up on drums. So is this kind of the portent? Like, well, I'm going to end up a rock and roll drummer? Or you were just going to be the percussionist in this kind of classical music?
I lived many lives, I feel, as a teenager. I got on drum set for a variety of reasons. Like when I was 12 or 13, I was getting really into music. And I would watch like MTV, Alternative Nation, in like 120 minutes. And then, so I was into Nirvana and Sonic Youth and Dinosaur Jr. and the Pixies. And, you know, they had drummers and Dave Grohl was a big influence. And then, also my friend had picked up the guitar and I was like, oh, she's playing guitar. I have to play drums. And then my brother also lived in DC in, 89. So he was really big into the Discord bands and Fugazi specifically. So, all that combined pushed me away from piano, and I was like, I want to get a drum set. Please let me get a drum set. And they said, you can get a drum set if you take lessons. And then when I took lessons, I took classical lessons. So it's like I played drum set on the side, and I feel like I'm somewhat self-taught in that realm, even though later I had lessons. But, yeah, I took classical percussion lessons as well.
Which ain't a trap kit. It's usually a bunch of little things, right? Triangle and timp and shit like that. I mean, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not getting it wrong. But they use kind of ornamentation percussion with classical rather than like the backbone beat. Trap kit, you know?
It is an abbreviation for contraction.
That's right.
Because
out of
you.
New Orleans. It came out of New Orleans. And it was invented as they were using it. It was not created like, here's the saxophone, here's the cello. This thing was a developed thing by cats that were using it. So it had all kinds of things, and it wasn't really a consistent trip, right? The sock cymbal was the fucking hi-hat. You never played it with your sticks. It was a pedal thing. You know, that kind of thing. So anyway, I'm really into drummers, man. I'm in bass, and so I consider the bass really a 4-string drum set, not a 4-string guitar, even though the similarities, fuck that shit. So after school, not graduate, but in the afternoon, you said you had a lady buddy who was playing guitar. So you got into the basement band, the bedroom band, the garage band?
I did, yes. So and it wasn't. I didn't actually play with that one friend who picked up the guitar. But I did play with two guys that I went to school with. They both played guitar. I played drums. We were obsessed with, we would all, like every Friday night, play in my basement, and then go to Pizza Hut afterwards. But we were all obsessed with Fugazi, and we would cover Fugazi, or we would make up songs that sounded like them. It's like, you know, I tried to imitate Brendan Cassidy.
I got to do a thing with him, trading five for seven. It's just recent. I always thought he was you know what really amazed me about him? I mean,
what?
Ask him to lift his shirt. He can put his stomach anywhere he wants to. And that same talent he can fucking do with his kick drum. That guy can put, he's like Zigaboo in the meters, right? He can put the kick wherever he wants it. And that is an incredible talent. Yeah. Now, I remember George Hurley, because that note is the closer to the bass guitar, so I'd ask him to, he goes, don't you understand, kick drum's just something I throw in between everything else. He's kind of juggling that. And George Hurley, I had so much respect for, but I really...
Yes, likewise.
It's hard to have empathy until you're, you know what I mean? If you're sitting on the kit, I think it's a whole different thing. I wish to graduate school, if I was like some kind of benign dictator, that would be my only rule is you can't graduate school until you learn drums. Oh, yeah, and you got to take a trip to Asia or Europe to visit another land. But those would be my two requirements just for a little bit. Because I think you'd have a whole different understanding of the world.
Like if you were in school for music or just school in general?
No, playing drums and visiting another country. Those two experiences.
Just in general, you would have everyone do that. No, that would be interesting.
Well, or specific, whatever you want to fuck call it. But, you know, we're abstract anyway, just pretending, so it could happen. But there's just something about, look, all this rhythm we do, almost, is based on rhythm. This shit about making the drummer an idiot and putting him in the back or her in the back.
No, I don't like that. Yeah, I can't subscribe to that, and I stopped subscribing to putting the drummer in the back years ago.
Yeah, 20
like,
years. That was a big mistake.
The hierarchy of that is really disturbs me.
George Hurley should have been at the front of the stage in the last 20 years. That's the way I've been doing Thanks. Now, you gave me this song called Peggy. I want to play that, okay?
Cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Gold Dime, Peggy. Then we had the Mutt Dog sample. This is something to show people what we sound like. Got this gig coming Sunday. Toko Hondo, Joe Berardi, and special guest Petra Hayden. It's our debut. We did a record 6 years ago. Now we're going to make a gig. The House of the Rising Sun, Leadbelly. Mr. Leadbelly, standard, right? Tab Falco doing that. The Trading Files between Vienna and Rome and Pedro. I'm on the Beatle base there, Hofner, made in China. SLWCC Watt with Improv, Sam Lockward out of Iowa City. Collab, Trading Files, Maya Gino. In Live and in Return, she's recording with Greg from Deerhoof right now. Guided by Voices, brand new, Bob Pollard. I share rhythm. I share another buttload of songs every couple months, right? This guy's incredible.
He does.
Yeah, I know.
He puts out so much. It's incredible.
Yeah. Obama's printed out that from the D.C. area. This is a band that's been around 40 years. Thousands of songs, maybe 5 gigs. But they keep on keeping on. Outside the shuttle, looking in. And finally, Gold Dime with Easy. So what'd you call this band with these two guys doing Fugazi?
Oh, back then. We're going back. Okay. Oh, man. This is what sucks. Like, they wanted to call it, like, Car on Fire or Death Warrant or something like that. And I was like, no, let's call it Ali Ma, which means learned in music and dancing, and was really cheesy. I guess I was taking things, meaning seriously back then. And I don't know how I convinced them, but that is what we called it.
Now, you said you were writing some of your own songs, even though you were copying Fugazi. Was that your first attempt at composition?
It's hard to say, because they kind of led things, and I just, like, played along.
Uh-oh, and traditional drummer role, sounding like.
Yeah, so I feel back then, it's just, I never played in a band before. I don't even know if they had as well. I did have things to say, like, yeah, can we try to play songs like this or like in this way? But I don't even recall putting the songs together with them. I don't feel like I really did that until a band I was in post college.
Now, did you go to college for music?
I did. I went initially for jazz performance, although I do think that I got in on my classical skills, and I think that they were sincerely looking for more women in the department, so they're like, yeah, you're in. But it did not go very well, and I was asked to leave my second year, which I did, and I gave up drum set for a little bit, and I actually got into hand drumming.
That's okay.
Yeah. No, it was great. Actually, yeah, it was great. I was sincerely into it. I went to Africa for a bit. I studied with some drummers at this dance and drum center in New York. And it was actually quite impactful for me. And then I eventually went back to drum set.
John Coltrane said you could play a shoestring if you're sincere.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I could play buckets. And, you know, if my heart was there, that's all it is.
Spoons?
Yeah.
Okay. Some ham bones.
I'll take spoons.
You know ham bones? I think ham bones is just your fucking thigh, right?
It's something with your thigh. I'm not exactly sure.
Well, it's a percussive syncopated thing. It's probably, you know, work the room with what you got. Maybe you got nothing but your hands and your thighs. So.
Yeah.
So. No, you know what I mean. You work the room. Like,
yeah, I do.
Vaudeville. Yeah, it's this kind of thing. Han Bennick, I did a gig with him. That guy ends up playing every object in the fucking band.
I saw him a long time ago. Yes.
Right? He's still going. Inspiration.
Oh my gosh, he's
so
he's older.
You go
yes.
You go back to the trap kit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but this time it's not going to be institutionalized. You're going to like just play with people.
Yeah. No, I don't think. Even though I had so many lessons through periods of my life with various percussion things and specifically drum set, I still consider myself self-taught. Like something I never could do the academic, this is what you play, this is how you play it kind of thing very well, even though I tried. really hard. So yeah, and then I got into, I played in this duo with this older guitarist. He was really quite heavy, and he got me into things like Suicide and Hairy Pussy and U.S. Maypole and DNA and Mars and Pussy Galore and like all that kind of stuff. And I learned a tremendous amount about writing music and how to write a song with him. And I, it was the first time I used my voice in, you know,
I was going to say,
in a band.
The drums, I'm not knocking your ma and your aunt, but this idea of like the folk thing where the instruments support the voice.
Yeah.
It seems like you kind of gravitated towards that with the drum set and became an accompanist to your singing. Down the road.
They're the same thing to me. Like, they support each other.
Okay.
Like, I use my voice, like, I feel like it's a part of one of my limbs.
But this duet was the first, this was the sea change.
Yeah, no, I would say that, one, going to Africa and studying African rhythms, and that stuff was one, and then two was playing in this band, this duo with this gentleman. We were called Death Pool. Death Pool, yes.
Pool, P-U-L-L.
Pool, yeah, it was actually like a gambling pool.
Pool. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, why is it hard to hear besides other millions of other problems? Sorry. So Death Pool, Death Pool record?
Actually, we did. We recorded like an EP, and we recorded at the Sonic Youth Murray Street place.
Got wrecked because of
I didn't know them then. I met them later.
What I asked you was about that, Andrea, is because you didn't send me any Death Pool music.
I know I didn't send you a lot of bands I was in before the other two. Right. It's like I haven't listened to them in so long. I'd have to sit with that before I put it back out into the world.
What was the arc of Death Pool?
It was the arc. Oh man. Okay, so this person, his name was Nini Morgia. He, like I said, he was older than me, and he had been in bands. He was Italian, and like he introduced me to all those bands and really taught me a lot. I understood how to use the drums, my voice, and it was great. But it was a little bit intense with band dynamics and. We couldn't really work together in the end. We played some cool shows and we recorded. We never released it, but
But you used what you learned for the next project. What was that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the next thing was my first solo endeavor. It was called Glenn Olden. I was in the Sexless Pseudonyms. I didn't know what to do. I knew people, but I didn't know. I don't know. I just wanted to kind of write songs myself because I had never really done that. So I started, it was a little bit of a circus because I played keyboards. I can play keyboards and read music and do all that stuff. Not that I was reading music.
I came from the piano trainer, right?
Yeah. And in one of my brief moments in jazz school, everyone has to take keyboards. And I think they should all take drums, like you said, as well.
But I'm talking about like, everybody, even people who drive trucks and shit.
Yeah. No, I know you were going much further.
I'm being very idealistic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be cool? I would write keyboard lines, and then I would do some noise, and I had samplers, and I would loop over myself, and then I would play drums over that, and I would sing, and like I said, it was a little bit of a circus, so.
Did you have a little, like, kind of tiny studio, a four-track or something?
I have always been good with, interfaces and,
Sound on sound.
Dolls and just Digital Performer, Logic, Cubase. I mean, that was back then that
using
I used that stuff.
Using the computer as a recorder.
Yeah, I also took a lot of music technology classes, so I knew how to do all that stuff.
Oh, great.
I did it for my own independence.
I'm way into musicians more and more closing that gulf, you know, that gap.
Absolutely. There's
and
such
also
a freedom
the
NAB there.
Guys, they should be in the studio creating too. It should be more a back and forth. You know, like most things humans, we should take turns. This idea of permanent roles, kind of.
Yes.
Kind of like brittle. Kind of gets rusty easy too. We're at the end of the first hour, the October 5, 2021 edition. of the Watt from Pedro Show and my special guest, Andrea Ambrose. Hold tight for hour two. October 5, 2021, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
It's hard, there's no more time for us. Who's the boss? I can't be sure of anything, but I'm positive never meant to hurt you. This morning I woke from a dream where everything was broken and it persisted. Where did our love go? no understanding? Or are you just lost? Kitchen, it escaped me. I didn't have time to find it, and without you there, I had nothing to say. Walking so fast towards something, I forgot to run away from all the rest. Whichever way they take me, well, I would rather rise with you inside my stairs. There's a thread in this three-piece, and it is loosened by the thought of these surroundings. And everywhere I wear it, it records the distance from the one I'm missing. And I have trained it not to listen to the clock that ticks away with my arrival, and I've ordered yet another. It should be ready for wearing yesterday. Walking so fast towards something, I forgot to run away from all the rest. Whichever way they take me, well, I would rather last with you inside my steps. So walk on now.
breath inside my chest, anticipating her lips like ever for the lightning. And it warms my blood so constantly, I hear you call me constantly. And my lips, they radiate your heat, and when they sing, I hear you speak inside me. All the distance seems to fade away each time I close my eyes. Walking so fast towards something, I forgot to run away from all the rain. Whichever way they take me, well, I would rather last with you inside my bed. I'm talking so automatic, I can't seem to figure out why. Silence follows, but I will follow it till I can hear you sleeping.
Rock for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Gold Dime, 4 hours. Ben Salter out of Tasmania with Departure. They'll Feel You is brand new. I think they're out of Cincinnati under again. Andre Vita out of Berlin with In My Steps. That's the way he spelled it. Neil Jennings with Sulu Bleeding Heart. And finally, Hindsight, I guess part two. Gold Dime.
Yep.
Gold Dime. How down the road is Gold Dime? Because you gave me a lot of Gold Dime.
I did, yeah. I guess I've been sincerely doing that since 2014-15. And I kind of focus on one thing. I don't like being distracted. And I lead it, and I write a lot of the music for it. And I play drums, and I use my voice and do all this stuff. So it does take a lot. I am only now thinking of, like, oh, I would like to, you know, start to formulate how to play solo, whether as Gold Dime or just myself, or to ease in and out of other things in that realm.
Gold Dime's so important. Let's how did it get started? How did it get going?
Oh, well, I mean, I feel like I'm missing some holes from, like, the other things, but
Fuck that. Let's fill in the next gap will get into Gold Dime, but this gap here, why don't you fill in them holes? I didn't know. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Well, I put Glenn Olden on hold because it felt like a circus playing it live, even though I did bring in people. I had brought in, it was my Richard Hoffman from Sightings. He actually played a little bit in that, but then I got distracted with this other band that I was playing just drums in called Antonius Block, which was excellent. And then that band fizzled out because the singer had, I say tinnitus. I know it's tinnitus, but whatever. And then from the ashes of Antonius Block, Talk Normal started. That was my very dear friend in life.
Okay. I gotta say about myself. I gotta say about Talk Normal. Because I didn't know the chronology, so I ended up putting Talk Normal in the third hour. But it actually is ahead of Gold Dime, right? Okay, thank you.
It happened before Gold Dime, yeah. But that's, I mean, whatever.
I didn't know. Okay, so
I didn't realize. Okay, go on.
That's important, though. That's important. In fact, there's a Talk Normal song we're going to play in the third hour called Gold Dime.
Yes, that's where Gold Dime came from.
Okay, I'm getting all Sherlock Holmes on you now. Solving the mystery.
Yes.
Or you're being Dr. Watson and helping me.
A little bit.
Okay, so Talk Normal, that's an important band.
For me, yeah.
Yeah, of course. You're the guest. The guest holds sway.
Yeah, all right, then it is important then. But it was a duo, and we were always trying to find a third person, but it was just the two of us, and we made a couple good albums, an EP. Sometimes we brought other people in to play with us. Again, Richard Hoffman played with us in that. That is probably the band I'm most known for. What else do I say about that? We say we're on hiatus. We kind of, you know, put it on the back burner in 2013.
How'd you get it together?
How did we get together? Well, I've known Sarah since college, so we were 19. She's like my soul sister. We played music together until she actually played guitar in that band I had talked about, Antonius Block, where the woman got tinnitus, and we had to stop. So she kind of, you know, we started to play together, and then we're like, oh, let's just keep this going. And again, we always wanted to add another person, but it never really worked. So it was always just the two of us, more or less.
And then why? Well, let's play All We Have to Be Thankful For. Some more Gold Dime.
Cool.
Okay. We'll get into the Gold Dime story.
Thank you. the street gets flooded up. Going down, she's going under. She wishes he were emotional.
Thank you.
That shook the music start off Gold Dime doing All We Have to Be Thankful For. Then I think this is her first album, Gabby Wynn, out of Oaktown with Neon. I got turned on to this. Howie Reeves got a new instrumental record, and this is Wednesday coming off of it, and he turned me on to this band Landowner. I guess buddies of his with Ordnance. Then we had Hugh Lux's Communication Arts Quartet with 37CGLW. Talk about insular. I don't know what the fuck any of that means. And finally, Revolution from Gold Dime. Okay, so let's get into the Gold Dime. Gold Dime evolves out of Talk Normal.
I guess so, yeah, because we were going on hiatus, and I kind of just kept going. And I think the gist of it was, in the past, I had been so reliant on guitarists. And I wrote songs in Talk Normal, and I sang a lot. And so I feel like everyone assumes it's not usually the drummer, which is fine, but whatever. But yeah, like I said, I was reliant on guitarists, and I found it hard to communicate ideas.
Who's the lady singer that people forget was a drummer?
Karen Carpenter?
Absolutely.
I love her.
Absolutely.
Kim, just her in general.
We're talking about Sonics, and Kim made a song for her.
I know, yeah, with the, yes, I know that one.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And
then, song for Karen, or
yeah,
Tunic.
Yeah, I think Todd
Tunic
Haynes
song for Karen.
Maybe Todd Haynes made
yes.
a video for it or something. That's really intense.
Yes.
Yeah, it's strong, emotional, strong. Anyway, go on with the Gold Dime story.
Yeah, so I picked up the guitar, and I started writing with it, because before in the past I usually just wrote on keyboards or with my voice. And you know, guitar has a malleable tuning system, and I can't play in standard. And I found that was so much more multidimensional than writing on keyboards. And, you know, just like the accidents are always so much more fulfilling. So yeah, I wrote a bunch of songs in that way. And then I brought people in. So there've been lots of people who have come in and out. Some people, you know, collaborate, some kind of play what I wrote.
Can I ask you about this song that we're going to get
what
to
song?
Next hour? Called
oh, sure.
Gold
sure.
Dime. Was this kind of like a portent of the band coming?
Not necessarily, but it was, it's that song was on a split with Thurston, actually, more. So it came out in like 2011, and yes, Sarah had started that song in Talk Normal, and then I just added all these hooks into it, and that, yeah, Gold Dime came, it, yeah. It's just about having a little piece of the pie, I guess, more or less.
Yeah, but what was the thing in your mind that says, you know what, fuck just having a song, it's going to be the name of my band?
Oh, I think I just like the two words
okay.
and the meaning behind it for myself. And yeah, you know, I got to play a show. What are we going to be called? Gold Dime. Yeah.
You know, a lot of times that's why people come up with names, right? They got it.
No, I know.
Gigs come
yeah,
up.
You get, yeah.
That's interesting. Can you remember the first Gold Dime gig?
Yes, yes. Wait, hold on. Yes. Okay, I do. Yes, it was at this place, Silent Barn, and it was with these two gentlemen, Adam Markevich on bass and Jordan Bernstein on guitar. Yeah. It was good.
And what, you know, I forgot to ask you, what was the first Talk Normal gig like?
Oh, yes, that I remember as well. We actually played it as a trio, oddly enough, again with this gentleman, Richard Hoffman, who I keep mentioning, but he's also an excellent bass player, and you should talk to him. Probably my favorite bass player. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
You didn't mention Joe Lally.
Oh, right. I didn't mention Joe Lally, but I do like Joe Lally.
Yeah, so
yes,
do I. Great cat. He moved back from Rome, right? He's got a band with Brendan. In fact,
and Anthony the Mephetics.
Called,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
With Anthony Perone.
Yeah, yeah. I want to see that live. I've heard it recorded. It's great, but I want to see it live.
It was on the show. It was a great thing. So was that gig a success?
I think so, yeah. We played at this place that used to be, yeah, Paris, London, West Nile. Yeah, no, it was great. We played, like, a full set with Richard. Yeah,
what,
it was good.
What I mean is, like, they didn't throw shit. You didn't have to fight. You know.
No.
Okay.
No. No fighting.
You wouldn't believe some of the gigs I've been hit with everything. Batteries.
On here. First shows, there was fighting?
Fighting, shit thrown at, all kinds of stuff. People telling you get the fuck out, and bags of
puke. Oh, my God.
Paper bags of puke and shit, so they'd tear when they come up. I remember D. Boone in Vienna getting a whole cup of piss right in the face on the first note. So all the lights go out. When they came back on, I was covered with about, I don't know, a dozen used condoms. It's like, whoa.
Oh, my God.
Put some work in this. We're at the end of the second hour, October 5, 2021, this is Juan Pedro Show. Special guest, Andrea Ambrose. Hold tight for hour three. October 5, 2021, it's the third hour of the Juan Pedro Show.
I'm trying to save that in an emergency.
Pedro Show started off the third hour with Talk Normal doing Gold Dime. This is the crossover piece, people. But you probably didn't know it at the time, right, Andrea? You
know, no, absolutely
right,
not.
Right, right. It's trippy how life leads you where it does. Then Babes New York City, the worst band name in the world, people, but they got some good songs.
Babes New York City.
Yeah, that's terrible. New York Dolls is okay.
Yeah, somehow.
But Babes New York City isn't. Anyway, My Children in the World, and ID Femel after that, Java, How, Yes, No, out of Croatia, New Kids in Town, next door Slovenia, Moj Slučkaj, My Case, live at Club Koka and Split 2015, Trobakova, Kuš Depeši, and finally Talk Normal with In a Strangeland. That's two words, people, Strangeland. I used to call Spaceland, Spaceland. Sounds like a housing development and Talk Normal. Yeah, okay. Even Talk Normal, but especially Gold Dime, you have a core of a duo core, but then other guys, other people augment you for different projects, different modes of the band, different gigs.
Yeah, for Talk Normal, yeah, people augment us, like, you know, play bass or guitar, usually. And we would play, like, you know, the heft of the song, and they would just, you know, add things, dimensions. For Gold Dime, it's always been a trio where I sincerely work with people for, you know, years or amounts of time on songs, whether it's collaborating or they play sometimes.
Oh, Gold Dime, you're the solid person.
Yeah, I am the one full-time member and band leader.
Right. And yeah. So I understand the dynamic. So it was like an evolution. It wasn't just a change in people. It was just another way of doing things. And I guess when you're the shot caller, it's not just about getting your way, but you got to take responsibility. It's a different trip. I know because I've done these different roles and stuff. And that's why it's kind of good to help other people out, because you can see how it is to be there. If you're going to give direction, like learning how to take direction is probably a good, useful thing.
Yes, I hope that I can take direction well. I think I can. Yes.
Okay.
And I do look to the people that are playing sometime. I'm like, is this good? Do you feel comfortable with that? I do try to bring them in. Absolutely.
But, you know, people come and go, right? And is it usually you or is it them?
I mean, I can only say, I mean, everything's a two-way street.
Yeah.
Maybe they would say me. I don't know.
Alice Coltrane said,
I definitely wouldn't just say them.
Alice Coltrane said John Coltrane never scissored anybody, that they always knew when it was time to leave.
I feel like that, yes. It feels like that. And whenever anyone wants to go, I'm like, thank you for your time. And for someone to learn your songs, if you're not collaborating, that's really a beautiful thing.
It truly is. I totally agree.
And I'm grateful, extremely grateful.
Yeah, it's like a gift, a real gift a musician can give another one, is to share with their music and help them build it.
And I would like to give back to a lot of those people or other people who are doing things.
In your songwriting process, do you carry a little notebook of words?
I always write down words. My whole life I have stickies of just words. And
so you can,
yeah,
like, you got a, like a library, a vocab, you know, a little bag of tricks you can pull out.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes hard to make it into a cohesive thing. Like, I don't go in consciously with, like, literal lyrics. This song is about blah. That is strange to me. I don't feel like there's any poetry in that.
Does the music come first?
I would say the music comes first, and I use words like sounds, and then I fill them in, and you start to feel what the song emits with, and you put words on it. That reflect, I think, the song more. It's kind of loose how it comes about, but then I kind of sew it all together.
You embrace abstraction.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't like literal lyrics, and like, you know, I can say at the end of a song, like, to me, this song now feels like it is about this, because you're constantly asked, like, what's this song about? I never consciously go in with any kind of literal intention.
Yeah. You gave me this tune, Transmission Lost.
Mm, that's my favorite Talk Normal song.
It kind of sounds like it's about something.
Sarah and I wrote lyrics together, and sometimes I would sing them, or she would sing them, or I wrote lyrics that she would sing, or we collaborated on lyrics that I would sing. But that one we collaborated on, I remember specifically it was a dream she had about not being able to find something.
Okay.
But I think that, for me, that song is about other things, you know, after the fact, because of things that were going on in my life, and I kind of associated with that. But, yeah.
But that's the beauty of artistic expression. It can be so individual, but then other cats can find value because they're reading their own story into it, right?
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah.
Let's listen.
Thank you.
but she blew my mind.
So last music for this edition, The Talk Normal, Transmission Lost. Then we have Planning for Burial out of Pennsylvania with Waiting on Death Consciousness reissue CD to come out on Tumult. That's a fucking title. Dear Like after that, Phlebotomy, Dear Like a Brand New. And then finally, Talk Normal, In Every Dream Home, A Heartache, which reminds me of a Roxy Music title.
That is, it is Roxy Music.
Of course, but you know, you can't copyright a title, but that song is so fucking heavy.
I know. I had wanted to cover it for years.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah.
My brother
was
inside you.
Yeah.
Yep, you know. It's a fucking blow
up.
Good
lyrics. I love Brian Ferry. Yeah, I mean, God damn those lyrics.
But I mean, the literalness of it's a blow up. Fuck doll.
I know, it's a blow-up doll, yeah.
But you know what? Why not take anything and make a fucking tune out of it that can make you cry?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful. What's your next plan?
Next plan. Let's see. I got a full length of material for Gold Dime. We need to play some shows and then record. I prefer to play stuff live before I just record it.
And I love that idea too, but sometimes you just don't get it right, and then the album comes out, and God, is it stiff.
Yeah, no, I can't, yeah, I gotta play it live and figure it out and take it to another
dimension. Right, the best way to make an album better is like play gigs with it first.
Absolutely. People who, I am intrigued by people who do that and their albums sound good.
Fuck, Hooskers.
That's awesome.
When we met the Hooskers,
oh,
they would play, like the tour's coming up. They'd get ready for the album, right? They wouldn't play any old songs. So at the tour, no one knew any of the songs.
Yes.
They
That's
would
awesome.
Play the whole
yep.
next record. Yeah.
Daddy, work the material.
These guys like that, that we met. But yeah, just the idea of getting it. You know, prac is prac, right, in the prac pad. But the real prac, I think, is in front of people.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's where I understand songs.
Yeah, yeah. But you say you got them composed. They just got to be baked.
Well, yeah, they're composed. So it's like they're pretty elaborate demos. And like I said, sometimes I do collab. This bass player, his name is Ian Douglas Moore, and the guitarist is Brendan Winnick. And on some songs, we do collaborate. And then maybe I'll be like, well, I'll just finish it with this. Or with this lineup, less has come out of like jamming necessarily. I think that's also because of, you know, the past year and a half and all that. But some stuff has come out of jamming, even though I don't do that terribly often. But then I always arrange and rearrange and add noise and other things and, you know, throw my voice in there as well.
Right, right. You know, that's why it isn't Woman Alone. That's why you got other players. You're bouncing stuff off and see how it responds, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. But you would call yourself the producer, right?
Yeah, I guess I'm the producer and, like I say, band leader. I'm driving it.
But yeah, the lady with the rudder on her hand, a hand on the rudder.
Yeah, yeah. It's but they are, absolutely. Integral.
Absolutely. One of those guys is my role, so I totally empathize.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you get this album out, when you come back on the show, we can play it and talk about it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And we're gonna have a show, and Goldam's gonna have a show in December. We're just fine tuning the date with the venue, and then I'm also playing. I'm just plugging stuff, Mike. I'm playing with Austin Julian, or I say Austin. I guess it's Austin Slay Julian. He has a residency at Issue Project Room, and I think for his last one, I'll be joining him along with the cellist.
And so is his mom.
No, I know that's
and his mom.
That's why I'm bringing it up
again, because the Bush Tetras are putting out a box set, right?
Yep, and that's gonna be so awesome. I love the Bush Tetras.
Absolutely.
I love Cynthia. I love
Pat.
I love D.
Cynthia, yeah.
I am excited about the show.
The boy is great, and he's like kicking like Cato, very productive. And I'm glad you get to help out on all that. Like I said, come back on the show. It's an honor to have you. Really, Andrew.
People. No. Thank you, Mike.
October 5, 2021, edition of Pedro. She'll keep your powder dry.